Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're very happy right now to be joined in studio by former All-Pro right tackle Mitchell Schwartz joins us on the show today. Mitch, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Mitch, I know we're a little bit away from it, but where does Thanksgiving rank in your favorite holidays? I know you're a food guy. Thanksgiving is my number one day of the year, and this is why. It's Christmas with no pressure. There's pressure with Christmas. You got to get people gifts and plan and do all this. I don't know how to cook, so the only plan I have on Thanksgiving is show up with a good attitude. That's all I need to do on Thanksgiving. Where does Thanksgiving rank for you?
Yeah, you know, I'm more of a Hanukkah guy myself, so you don't quite have that pressure. You know, if you screw up one of the nights, you got seven more nights to redeem it. So there's not too much pressure on Hanukkah. Thanksgiving's definitely up there. It's probably number one for me. I love that food. I feel like we kind of cook it maybe once or twice a year elsewhere throughout the course of the year, just because it's like, obviously people think of what they do about turkey, but like the sides, the desserts, appetizers, gravy, like you just don't do that enough throughout the course of the year. I feel like it's almost like hot dogs where you get it at a game and you're like, man, why don't we ever do this more often? So yeah, I think Thanksgiving is number one. The caveat is that you have to be eating at the right time. If people are eating, to me, after about 1:30 p.m., I think it's too late. I think part of the appeal of Thanksgiving is it's like you fast for the morning and you make sure you're nice and hungry and it's a little bit later than lunch and there's some things that you're picking at, you know, for the hour before the food's ready and you keep walking to the kitchen to see if everything's ready, grabbing bites here and there. You eat your, you know, 1, 2, 3 plates, however many you need to just feel engorged. You go lay down on the couch for, you know, 5 hours and then by the time you're ready to eat some more, all the food's still laying out and you just go pick it at what you want. So I think it's number one if you're eating at the right time is what I'd say.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Mitchell Schwartz. So there's a lot of stuff that I want to get your opinion on. Happy that you're here. So I'll just tell you, I guess, kind of where I am. It has been very telling to me in the last couple of weeks that there was a player on Buffalo that said that they were able to pick up on tendencies with the Chiefs. And Chris Jones basically said the exact same thing. Hey, the Broncos knew our coverages. We got to do a better job of disguising it. Do you think in some ways that teams have just kind of caught on to what Kansas City is doing, that the Chiefs have had basically the same personnel, it feels like, for the last 3-4 seasons, and while the rest of the AFC is changing, the Chiefs are not changing?
No, I think that's a huge disservice to what the coaching staff has been in terms of tendencies. Like, okay, Chris said 1/3 and 15, they were able to identify the coverage. Like, so that means that every single third down, Spags is supposed to have some magical coverage that they never identify. That's ridiculous. I mean, I know some of the stats that quarterbacks are completing, I forget if it was quarterbacks are completing or they're converting, you know, X number of third downs. It's like they're going to convert third downs throughout the course of the game. Do you think all those times that they didn't understand that maybe it was cover two or maybe it was man coverage or maybe it was cover zero? Like the expectation is that both sides are paid professionals. Both sides have great coaching staffs. To say that on a single third down that they're realizing that, hey, this is the coverage or this is the blitz look, I just think that that's a pretty absurd line to go down when you're nitpicking individual plays. I think the personnel is not as good as it's been. The pass rush is not as good. You know, for so long it's been in Spags we trust, because it puts the onus on him to be perfect every single time with those play calls because the guys can't get home. Well, we showed that on 3rd and 15. I mean, I think that was a weird coverage and weird call personally, not because of Bo Nix or not because of all those things, just why do you need to spy on 3rd and 15? If the guy's going to run, you're probably going to tackle him. Why are you only rushing three guys? Why is Chris Jones one of the interior rushers where he's forced to kind of rush on the A-gap where he's going to get double teamed by, you know, guard and center? So I thought that was worse than any sort of like, oh, well, they figured out what the coverage is going to be. That Bo Nix is a good quarterback. Sean Payton, one of the best offensive minds in football, he's going to have his quarterback ready. They're going to understand some, you know, zones and tendencies. So, yeah, I think that specific line is a little bit overblown.
So you've talked a lot on your pages and social media about the run game. Let's just kind of start with, what are you seeing as the most identifiable problems for the run game? Is it a reluctancy to run? Is it a scheme issue? Is it a talent issue? When you look at this and you understand their offensive line personnel as well as anybody, what are you seeing?
I think it's just a volume of runs being called. I think more runs need to be called, whether it's under center runs or RPOs. You know, we can break that into a couple different discussions. One is the under center run game. You know, if you look at most of the best offenses in the NFL, they're all going more under center than they used to, at least in the last, you know, 5 to 8 years. Now, a lot of that is from Shanahan McVay tree. That just so happens to be the really successful thing going right now. You know, all the guys who came from the retree did not have much success being offensive play callers. Nagy didn't work out. Bieniemy didn't work out. Doug Peterson recently hasn't worked out. You know, so I think that Coach Reed's offense is not the quote-unquote easy thing to do in the NFL right now. You know, it was 5 years ago. It was 7 years ago. You know, this isn't a he's not adapting kind of thing. He adapts week to week, you know, play to play. Like, again, he's one of the smartest minds in NFL history. But he's not from that tree. And right now that tree, under center, play action, is having a lot of success for whatever reason against the way defenses are being called. We have shown really good success running from under center. I think second in EPA, if you look at advanced stats from under center runs, if you take out, you know, basically Kareem's success on short yardage, we're still, I think, fifth or sixth in EPA, just all runs over 3 yards to gain. So it's objectively a good rushing attack from under center. Now, is it because they don't care about the run? Is it because of all these other things? Potentially, but it doesn't matter. It's still objectively a good rushing attack. So do that more. RPOs, that's been a big discussion this week. One, Coach Reed's not throwing Pat under the bus, talking about some of those get thrown. I think he was frustrated with the line of questioning because he gets questioned every week about run-pass ratio, and he's just saying, I call more runs than people think. It's just some of them get thrown. Well, I went and looked at it, and I had, you know, seven. Basically, Kareem had 13 rushes. Pat had, whatever it was, 38 or something pass attempts, sacked three times, one scramble, so like 42 passes. And if you just kind of break it down, he only called 20 total runs the whole game. You know, seven of those were RPOs that got thrown. All seven were completed. The shortest one was 3 yards. The other six are what you'd consider an efficient run, which is, you know, 5 yards or more or gaining a first down. So those RPOs that are getting thrown are very effective. That's kind of the point of RPOs. If they're going to align some way pre-snap that the leverage is there to throw it, you throw it. If it's a post-snap RPO where you're reading a specific guy and he backs out of there, then you hand it off. If he comes up and run defense, then you throw it or whatever the coverage is. Pat was 7 for 7 on those decisions when he threw the ball, and we were very efficient as an offense. So you can't say that don't throw the ball in RPOs. Well, it was effective. The issue is that still, if you count all seven of those throws as rushes, that's only 20 rushes to over 40 passes called. And so that's my issue, is that if you're going to have an RPO-heavy offense, you just need to call so many more of them that it feels like a true 50-50 blend. So I think that's kind of my issue, is not enough under center runs, and then the under center runs open up, some play action stuff, and then if you're going to lean into RPOs in addition to under center runs, I think you just need to call so much more of them, because every time you throw it, those just take the place of the short passing game. You don't need to go ahead and call shotgun short passing game on top of that. So I'd say that's kind of how I'm feeling right now.
This is what I'm seeing, and that's why I'm happy to have you on here to maybe shoot some of these things down if I'm believing something that's not true. I think one of the problems when it comes to their offense and why I think the teams are able to defend it at times is I don't think the defenses expect them to kind of stick with the run game and be consistent with the run game because they know eventually the Chiefs will just get out of it at some point. And I also don't know if there is a reason to believe that the Chiefs are going to have an explosive run that kind of kills you. You know, certain offenses have a guy that can hit a home run, so you got to always kind of have that in the back of your mind. I mean, the Chiefs might get 5 yards on first down, but the next play we know is going to be a pass play. We know that that Kareem Hunt run's not going to be a 35-yard run down the field. I feel like that is sort of what hurts the run game as all is the defense just doesn't really expect either the Chiefs to be consistent with it or the Chiefs to get a big play from the run game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I totally agree. I think defenses don't have to care about the run game. They can, you know, play soft. They can play off. They can react to the RPO aspect of it. They don't have to. If you look at some of the under center play action stuff we do, it's not quite, you know, in O-line terms, we call it hardball run, but it doesn't look as aggressive and downhill as some of the other run schemes do. The linebackers aren't getting, you know, 2 yards to the line of scrimmage on play fakes. They're maybe taking one step up. And so you're not able to, you know, open up space behind it the way you would on a you know, McVay or Shanahan style run scheme, which I played for Kyle Shanahan for a season. I'm very familiar with, you know, what his offense calls for. And that's where, again, I think when we're under center, we just do it so infrequently that teams are okay. They don't even care if it's an 11, 12-yard run. They know that the whole point of running those is to then get to the play-action pass so they can, you know, sell out to try to stop it. The flip side of that is obviously guys are still getting open. We're talking about missed throws down the field. We're talking about some other stuff, you know, staying in progressions or guys coming available. So as much as we want to sit here and say they need to do this, they need to do that, coach is probably looking at it and saying, well, that guy got open, that guy got open, that thing was wrong. That guy held on this play, illegal formation on another play. And he's thinking, it's just an execution error. I'm calling the right stuff. I'm getting guys open. We have opportunities all across the field. Guys aren't doing what they're supposed to do. So that's where I understand the push and pull of, you know, us sitting here saying it's easier to do all these things and him looking at, you know, the offense and saying, well, man, you know, we're not running the ball the way people want, but I'm still getting guys open in the pass game. Play action's still working, still finding ways to get guys over the top. So, yeah, that's where, you know, I'm not in his brain. I don't know exactly how that whole deal goes down. But I can see from his perspective why he feels like if we're just executing better across the board offensively, then no one's talking about the scheme.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Mitchell Schwartz here talking to him about some of the problems in the Chiefs offense. I understand that it is impossible for you to answer this question, but I'm going to ask you this question anyway. Do you think that Coach Reed is willing to make that adjustment? Because, I mean, we could go through the numbers, and you had some of them. I found them earlier today. I mean, the numbers suggest that the Chiefs are much better when they run the ball under center. They just don't run the ball under center. I'm looking at it right now. Someone from CBS Sports had it. They are third in success rate. They're 28 in attempts. Now, I'm not saying the Chiefs are instantly going to go to first in attempts, but if the Chiefs could kind of get towards league average, I think you would see a noticeable improvement in the run game. Do you think that they are willing to make that adjustment offensively down this home stretch?
From what I've seen, no. We don't have any evidence that they will. I thought coming out of the bye, they leaned to it a little bit more. I think there were 4 under center runs last week, one of which was a 3rd and 1 from the 2-yard line, Kareem scores on, touchdown. The other 3, I think, was either a 4 or 5 yard rush, but a successful run, a 7 yard run, and an 11 yard run. So, again, calling 4 under center runs. One is a 3rd and 1 from the 2, scores a touchdown. The others gain 5, 7, and 11 yards. Why aren't you doing it more? The other part of this is those plays give Pat a break. You know, there are plays that make things easier for everyone. You know, you look at offensive line wise, what's easier? Running nakeds, running bootlegs, little screens, you know, kind of shorter stuff. Some of that's easier on the offensive line. If you're running certain gaps scheme plays where a guard's pulling, or, you know, everyone knows it as duo these days, the backside tackle basically gets to take a play off. You just get to pass it, the guy runs into you, and it becomes really easy. Well, Pat doesn't really have plays that he can kind of take off and get a breather. If the run game, you know, last game, again, if we're calling 20 total runs, some of them are RPOs, or let's say half or more RPOs, well, every single one of those, he's got to make a decision pre or post snap. He's got to be locked in. It's not just like, all right, here we go. I'm just going to turn around, hand the ball off, and like kind of take it off. And then the way our play action game works, you know, you look at the Colts, you look at, again, the Rams, 49ers, how easy some of those play actions are that the quarterback doesn't really have to think, doesn't have to do much, and the throws are just there. That's where I feel like can we make this offense easier for everyone, the quarterback included? But because Pat's so good, because he can handle it mentally, you feel like, no, let's make it like the highest level of offense it can be. My question is, just does it need to be? And that's where I think we could scale back and make it, you know, quote unquote, easier.
I feel like I've asked you this question for the 3-4 years that we've known each other. Some deep ball. And I think it has been more and more noticeable. I saw the numbers for it. Pat was 1 of 10 on deep passes, what the league would consider deep passes. The only completion was the long pass to Tyquan Thornton. His passer rating was 19.2 on these throws. He's too talented to me to, I guess, be as inconsistent when it comes to these throws. What are you seeing down the field with the Chiefs offense and why they're struggling to connect on these balls with? To me, it really stands out with Xavier Worthy. Like, you drafted Xavier Worthy for these pop plays, these fast plays down the field. It seems like he's way better at connecting on these plays with Thornton than he's been with Worthy in the year and a half that they've worked together.
Yeah, so that tells me specifically that I feel like there's maybe a disconnect in the timing or what the receiver's seeing, what the receiver's feeling, what part of the field he's running to. For my money, I still think Xavier throttled a little bit halfway through his route on the first one of the game. Pat said the play was supposed to go to Kelsey. He saw the leverage X had. He decided to throw it and wanted to take the big shot early in the game. If you look at it, there is a little bit of a change of speed. Change of speed usually means guys not running full speed the whole time. I think as Xavier's clearing, he knows the play's supposed to go to Travis, probably gets thrown to Travis all week. It's going to be wide open, and just kind of assumes that it's not coming to him, sees that it is, accelerates. If you want to say Pat missed the throw still, that's fine. I just think there was a little bit of change of speed, and I think there's an impact on that. So, you know, is there a chemistry thing? Is there, you know, throwing a guy open? Is there willingness of the receiver to go up and get it to make a play? Are we just, did we forget how wide open Tyreek used to get and that maybe Pat didn't have to be perfect? I will say Tyreek, for his size, is the best high point ball catcher in NFL history. His ability to go up and get the football on contested catches down the field, I think, again, unparalleled for a guy his size. So Tyreek used to get open by much larger margins than we're seeing currently. Maybe those throws weren't as perfect as we realized. Maybe if Pat overthrew it by a half step or a step, Tyreek still had this, you know, 15th gear that he could go speed up just a little bit, go snag it. If it was underthrown, he could go up and get it. If you're having that much success with Thornton and you're not having that success with Xavier, I feel like that maybe plays into something that's not the quarterback and maybe just the connection between the two guys. I don't know that answer. I don't know anyone in the building. I've never talked about it to them. So I don't know if that is a thing or not. But just like logically, if a guy is very successful with one specific receiver throwing down the field and not with the other, then there has to be some sort of disconnect. And I just don't know what it is or what it could be.
Let's talk about the other side of the ball. Let's talk about the defensive line. That's probably where I've had my bigger, I guess, complaints. I mean, this team has spent a lot of resources on having a good defensive line and a good pass rush. Chris Jones is the fifth highest paid defensive lineman in the National Football League. George Karlaftis just got a big deal. You brought a Minihu back to kind of take that next step and possibly get one of those contracts. Mike Dana's on a 3-year, $24 million deal. Their defensive line has been disappointing in some ways. What are you seeing on that side of the line of scrimmage?
Well, the only thing I can refute you on is that those numbers aren't as high as they seem. You know, in a world where Parsons and Hutch are getting $45 million plus, Karlaftis on a $20 million deal, that's not a deal for a premium pass rusher. Just realistically, that's not. Dana, at $8 million a year, that's a deal for a high-level backup if you want to talk about, like, actual money for pass rushers. So, yeah, we're putting some resources into it. We only have one monetary resource that's being paid to a high-level pass rusher. That's Chris. Obviously, two first-round draft picks in the last 5 years on DNs, and one of them hasn't panned out so far. Yeah, I think, again, this just gets to, like, what are they looking for in pass rushers? I feel like the Uche trade last year, everyone was excited, got some guy with juice, and he just didn't play all year, and I still don't know why. He goes to Philly this year. His pressure numbers are you know, really good, and he looks good when he's on the field. I know guys talked about Jalen Phillips and training for him, a third rounder, and then you look at what he's done with Philly.
Phillips got off to a good start, for sure.
Good start. Yeah, he's transformed that defense into now the best defense in the NFL because he's just a consistent pass rusher who gets pressure. So it just seems like they see this mold of pass rusher, and it's less explosive, a little bit more stout in the run game, more complete player than true pass rusher. That's what they gravitate towards. I think FAU was kind of a shot in the dark at a guy that they thought could develop and be a, you know, top end athlete at the position, and then you just have to learn maybe the pass rush aspect of it. Omenihu, I think, was fantastic those first, you know, the first season before he got hurt. Really complimented, you know, Chris on the inside well, and they rushed in tandem really well together. But yeah, I mean, the pass rush just isn't good enough one-on-one on a consistent level. I think Karloftis has gotten a lot better pass rush-wise. I mean, a few reps early in the game last week, he's given Bowles trouble, who's, you know, turned into one of the better left tackles in football. And that's something that previously I thought George affected the quarterback, you know, maybe not as quick as some other guys, but tended to do it against weaker competition. He's showing now that he can get, you know, legitimate pressures against higher-end tackles one-on-one. So that's a good thing that we're seeing. It's just not there down to down, and I think we've seen it all year. I think we kind of knew that was an issue coming into the year. And, yeah, there's really no way to change that.
Yeah, that's why, I guess, and you mentioned it earlier on the, you know, the biggest defensive play of the game is 3rd and 15. You've got to figure out a way to get off the field. To put that much trust in the defensive line on that play is just very puzzling, where that's where you expect Spags to be a little bit creative, maybe dial up pressure and just, hey, we're going to send Shamari Connor or send one of those guys for them to kind of play back on that play. And then, I mean, let Bo Nix just pick you apart on that play. Just, I think, kind of adds to some of the frustration people have when it comes to the defense and just what they're giving up. I saw the stat yesterday. The teams are completing 70% of their passes on third downs this year against the Chiefs, and they've never been higher than 60% with Steve Spagnuolo. Like, teams are having success on those 3rd and 5 and longer downs against this defense.
Yeah, and so my thing is, when we used to drop 8 or used to run these packages with, you know, Leo and Bolton or Leo and Drew or whoever it is, those two guys as stand-up linebackers kind of in the – B-gap areas. Chris used to be a defensive end rushing over primarily the right tackle, sometimes left tackle. And so the idea of that kind of structure in football terms, we call it a bear front, but basically there are 5 guys on line of scrimmage all lined up over an offensive lineman. You're somewhat trying to force the offensive line to have to block all 5 of those guys individually, which allows one-on-ones. And even if not, if, you know, say you slid to Chris's side, Chris could still beat a tackle outside and then just like shut off the fact that the guard's coming to help. Well, if you're running that 3-down structure, but Chris is on the inside, again, this is where he's going to be guaranteed double teamed when other guys drop out. When he's at defensive end, yeah, he might get chipped, but also he might just get a 1-on-1 with a tackle and might be able to shut off interior pressure. On that specific play, he was aligned at 3-technique over the left guard. He ends up rushing inside of the A-gap. My thought is, we've seen Chris plenty of times, if he gets a full go at a guard, he's going to go up the field and he's going to try to beat them outside. I think he was forced to rush inside and kind of make Nix, if he was going to leave the pocket, go through, you know, one of the 2 B gaps, and then Leo was the guy in spying there. Because if Chris just rushes upfield, now the entire middle is open for Nix, and potentially he even has 2 offensive linemen that he can say, hey, I'm scrambling, go, 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 and maybe one of them picks off Leo. So to have Chris not in that quote-unquote normal spot on a 3-down look, and when you're rushing 3, to just beat a tackle and make three guys rushing right, I think that's maybe a little bit of the disconnect. You know, I think it was George and I don't know if it was Ashton or someone else, but like zero pressure on the play from anybody. And then the other side of that is Chris is, what, 30 or 31 at 29, however old he is. He's played a lot of games, a lot of years at defensive tackle. He's like the highest snap getter, D tackler, one of them. That guy shouldn't be leading your defensive line, leading defensive tackles in the NFL in snaps. Like that's not the way to make sure that guy's the best version of himself, especially because, as we know, I mean, he can defend the run. I know he's gotten some heat for it this year, but he's exhausted. Like he's 30 years old as the star player on the defense, and he's on the field as much as any defensive tackle in football. So I just think the usage is a little bit weird. Like, that's separate from the scheme, a little bit separate from, you know, all these other things. But again, he has to, because our defensive tackles, aside from him, you know, not that great.
Coming up on the other side of this, I want to ask you this question. I want to give you some time to think about it. Let's say that you and your former teammates were going on NFL Family Feud. And the question was, this current player is a freak. And I was thinking of this question because of Randy Moss. Like, you know, as an NFL player, when you watch the film, you're like, whoa, like that guy's athleticism is otherworldly. He's a great player. Who would you suggest for right now? I'll tell you who my player is. And then I also want to ask you this question on the other side as well. The Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites in this game. Do you think this is the public believing in Kansas City or not believing in the Colts? We'll get your answers to those questions next. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports.
96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We're very happy to be joined in studio right now by friend of the show, Mitchell Short. So I asked you a couple of the questions that we've been asking today. I'll ask you the first one. If you were on like NFL Family Feud and the question was, this current player is a freak. And I was thinking this because I was watching a Randy Moss highlight. I'm just like, there's nobody in the league that looks like this. Like, he is just one of the truly unique, go up against any corner.
No, Lewis Riddick said that the Raiders fourth rounder this year had a lot of Randy Moss like traits.
Okay. I don't even know who that was. I'm guessing he doesn't have any Randy Moss traits. I said Myles Garrett. That was my answer on this guy is a freak. Who's your answer?
Oh, it's Myles. That's not even a question. Like, he is large for a defensive end, and his movement skills are Von Miller. Like, his speed, his get off, his bend, the ability to get the corner, and then you put it in this 6'5", 280-pound body that just, like, you, like, we've seen the video of him playing basketball where he just looks like the Hulk out there. I just don't, like... If he was anywhere else, we'd be talking about him as being one of the all-time greats. I think retrospectively, we'll go back and kind of realize how insane his career was. And the fact he's been on so many bad teams. Imagine if he had a bunch of fourth quarters where his team was up 10, 14, 17 points and he got to just go pass rush. He's not getting that. He's never had that in his career. And he's still putting up the sack totals he has. So, yeah, it's a combination of just pure freak athleticism and body and all those things. And also the ability to, like, play football too, because I think when you look at that, there's some guys who are just athletic freaks, but they don't produce.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Mitchell Schwartz. The other question that we were asking is, the Chiefs are once again 3.5-point favorites. Now, it's different that they're the home than they went on the road last week, but it's almost the exact same scenario. Like, I don't think the public believes in the Colts and the Broncos and are sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I think that the public is just the public is going to believe in Kansas City until you give them a very, very strong reason not to believe in them. So we've been asking this question. Do you think that this line is indicative of the public siding with Kansas City and just, hey, I trust the Chiefs. I know the Chiefs, they'll turn things around. Or do you think this is the public telling you, we do not believe in Daniel Jones. We will not believe in Daniel Jones this season.
I think it's more just people have gotten burned by betting against the Chiefs in the last few years, as the Chiefs haven't looked quite as good. And so it's just like they know that people aren't going to not hammer the Chiefs if it was 1.5 or 2.5. And, you know, seems to have settled at 3.5 there. And, yeah, I think it's less about, you know, Indy per se, and it's more about just like Kansas City is going to have to force people to not take them, because everyone, you know, for the most part, who's not a Chiefs fan, I'm sure, is taking someone else, and all of a sudden Kansas City rallies and wins and makes them look bad. I think there's probably an element of, you know, it's kind of at the point you could look at it as you have to win out. You know, I think 11-6 sneaks in. I don't think 10-7 gets it. So whether you want to say, you know, you kind of have to run the table here, go 12-5. But it's probably a combination of people just don't want to bet against the Chiefs. They've been burned too many times. Maybe you don't believe in Indy. I don't know how – I guess you. I understand how you could not believe in them. But, you know, matchup-wise, they match up pretty well against us. And then there's just the element that, like, this is a much bigger must-win game for Kansas City. But the flip side is last week was too, and the outcome was what the outcome was.
Yeah, that was the thing we were talking about, is I feel like it's almost a carbon copy. So like any takes that I had last week, because I picked the Chiefs to win the game against the Broncos, bye week, gotta have it, have never lost this game in the division, going up against Bo Nix, I don't believe in him, I don't believe in their offense. Like, it's almost like I fell for it last week, and I feel like I'm going to fall for it again. Like, I am picking the Chiefs to win this game for all of the things. Like, I know it's not a playoff game. Man, it's got a lot of playoff game implications. Like, at some point, the math is the math, and you are running out of games that you can possibly lose. Your margin for error. The Chiefs can't afford to lose any more games in the division. They can't really afford to lose too many more AFC games. They're only 2-4 in the AFC, and you're going to need that tiebreaker once you get to the end of the season with certain teams. So this is a must-win kind of game, and I'm just waiting for the Chiefs to rise up and show me that they're that team that they've been for the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, me too. That'd be great. I think we all want to see that. I just think, so Indy, I mean, Daniel Jones is, there's a lot of ways to go with that conversation, but you look at them offensively, kind of what we were saying in the first segment, the game just seems easier for Daniel Jones than it does for Pat in terms of not how they're playing, but like what he has to do, what he's asked to do. The running game is very good. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor, we don't need to relitigate that. But the offensive line, the way Taylor's running the ball, they are built for a true run game, a play-action game, some RPO stuff. Not as good at having to pass when everyone knows you have to pass. But again, we've talked about our defense isn't great in passing situations this year. Not great on the third downs. Not great at getting pressure in one-on-one pass situations. So you would look at this matchup and think, all right, well, offensively, I mean, Indy's offense against our defense, like, that's a huge advantage to Indianapolis's offense. You look at the defensive side of the ball, can they get pressure with the defensive line? Yeah. Buckner being out is big, but Latu's been a pretty good player this year. His matchup against Josh is going to be really exciting, actually. Historically, Louis Anarumo done a great job against Pat. Done some, you know, kind of funky things off the wall that have worked against us that don't really work on a larger scale. He's been doing awesome this year as a coordinator. The defense has been playing pretty good. It looks like Tarvarius is back. You know, I don't know how good he'll be, but another week for Sauce, and I think they just came off a bye. So, you know, another week to get acclimated in that system. Play some more man coverage. We know that right now the Chiefs aren't that great against man coverage, and now Indy comes to town with the corners, with the ability to play some man coverage. So, matchup-wise, again, this is why I don't really understand the Chiefs' 3.5 line. Like, everything, I think, points in the direction of Indy. But history and needing to win the game go on Kansas City side. So, yeah, definitely understand why they do that. I mean, they're smart about it.
We'll get you out of here with this last question. We're a week away from Thanksgiving. Tell us how Mitchell Schwartz is cooking the bird. What are you doing?
I have not cooked a whole turkey once in my life. I am smart enough to go to people's houses and to not have the worry about doing turkey. I think you put a thermometer in the thing and you stick it in the oven and you let it cook till it tells you it's done. I think people stress about that. No one's there to eat the turkey. If it's dry, no one cares. If it's fantastic, no one's going to care. I would say the biggest thing is start the turkey early. It can rest upwards of like 2 hours. The turkey is massive. It's a 20 plus pound thing usually. You know, even if it's 18 pounds, like it's going to hold its temperature. So you can start it at 8 a.m. and it can be done at 11 a.m. and you can eat it at 1 or 1:30 and it's still going to be plenty warm. And if it's not getting there the last 15 minutes, crank your oven up as hot as it goes, put it back in, get the skin crispy. So just start the turkey early, let it go, you know, lower is probably good. Make sure breast is at 165, thighs are, you know, 175, 180. Don't worry if you overdo it. I think honestly, like people just want to see a good looking turkey more than they want to eat a great tasting turkey. So cook it, rest it. If you want to get it looking beautiful, you know, a little bit of butter, put it back in the oven for 10 or 15 minutes, get that skin looking golden brown and crispy, and yeah, take some stress off.
What's your ideal plate that you have? So like the, you know.
Very large.
Okay, just I wanted to know. I'm just curious.
Ideal plate, I would have a little bit of turkey. I'm a huge gravy guy, so I'm going a ton of gravy. Soft buttered roll with some salt. You got to have some salt on your
Using
butter.
A real cranberry sauce or the ocean spray?
I go with the ocean spray. Okay. I like the jelly. I could go either way on that. It's more on the plate to, you know, diversify the color palette more than the necessity of eating it. But I do like it. Big green bean casserole guy. Not as big on mashed potatoes, believe it or not. But green bean casserole, if someone does something sweet potatoes, I'm all in on that. Stuffing, big stuffing guy. And... yeah, that's kind of the majority of it. If, you know, again, going to people's houses, if they have other sides that they like. But to me, the necessities are the, you know, the turkey, stuffing, green beans, roll, ton of gravy. Probably starting the meal already full from all the appetizers and definitely forgetting the fact that there's going to be 19 pies on the back end.
That is our guy, Mitchell Schwartz, joining us on the show today. Getting you ready for Chiefs, getting you ready for Colts, also getting you ready. It's crazy to think we are a week away from Thanksgiving. It is rapidly approaching. The year is almost at the end. Mitch, always love catching up with you, my man. Coming up on the other side, we'll get you ready for Thursday Night Football. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good. like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
I do want to get to football coming up in just a bit. Someone on the text line asked a very good question. 913-586-7965 if you want to text in the show. C-Dot, I have a Two Americas question for you. What time do you usually eat Thanksgiving dinner? Now, Rob, this has changed as I've gotten older. Once my parents got divorced, and now it's just me, my mom, and my sister, so it's just three people, our Thanksgiving dinner is just a lot smaller now. So we eat, I would say, at a normal time. Now, back in the day, 3:30.
What? That's crazy late.
3:30. I would say usually we would eat at some point. We would eat at some point in the first half of the Cowboys game.
How big was the?
At no point as a child did I eat during the Lions game. At no point.
That's crazy.
Yeah, 3:30.
That's too late.
Average time. So when I was hearing Mitch say 1 o'clock, I was just. Must be nice.
We're a 1:30 family. That's the aim.
I'm not surprised.
That's the goal.
I'm not surprised.
Now, have I ever seen a fourth quarter of a Lions game? No, not a once. Now, to be fair, it's the Lions. So before recently, there's never been an interesting fourth quarter.
This one is going to be good. It's Bears and Lions. I mean, so the one time I actually want to watch Bears and Lions.
No. Are you sure? I didn't think it was Bears.
I think it is. It's either Packers, Lions, or Bears. It's one of those games in the NFC North. Hold on. Look it up.
I thought it was
Packers-Lions is Packers, the one. Packers-Lions, okay. Chiefs, Cowboys, Bengals-Ravens are the three that we have. That's actually three pretty decent games this year. Yeah, NFL actually looked out for us this season.
Yeah, I've never seen the fourth quarter. 1:30 has always been the goal. Sometimes it gets a little loose, you know, things that
Somebody said noon at the latest. Bro, that's crazy.
The latest? That means you're eating Thanksgiving breakfast. That's untenable.
Noon at the latest is nuts to me. I can't even imagine something like that. That's insane.
If I'm having stuffing before noon, I'm in an unpleasant mood.
I mean, I'm not unhappy. I can't imagine what that is. Like, my mom used to make Thanksgiving brunch when I was a kid because everybody already knew that we weren't eating at that time. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't heavy. It might be like a little bit of bacon, a little bit of eggs, a couple of blueberry muffins, and you better eat it because you're not going to eat until 3:30, 4 o'clock.
See, that would make it better, but I can't get over this. We don't eat we eat at noon at the latest. So you're like, you wake up and you're just, that's too early.
So
way too early.
Today on the show, we had a couple of national NFL voices to help us kind of break down the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to play for you guys what Bill Barnwell had to say, and I promise we'll get to Thursday Night Football here coming up in a bit. It's actually a very simple take. Go Bills. That's what side you need to be on today. If you are wondering today as you're driving home, well, you know, who do I need to win? You need Buffalo to win. Buffalo, just go ahead and grab one of those wild card spots. Just go ahead and grab the 5 seed. The Chiefs, I don't think they're going to win their division, so they can't be the 1, 2, 3, or 4. I don't think they can be the 5 seed just based off where they are, tiebreakers, etc. The Chiefs are more than likely playing for the 6 or the 7 seed. Bill Barnwell doesn't sound nearly as worried as I think a lot of people do. He thinks the Chiefs are better than their record.
I don't think the Chiefs are broken. All the advanced analytics I can find, DVOA, expected points added, ESPN's Football Power Index, all those numbers say that this year's version of the Chiefs are actually better than last year's version of the Chiefs. And I know that sounds crazy. I know the records are the records. Wins and losses at the end of the day are what matters, not what an advanced metric says. But what that implies is that there's not anything that's like completely and utterly flawed that is broken about this team. You have little things you can point to here or there. They are last in pressure rate when they blitz, which is just so out of character for a Steve Spagnuolo defense. Obviously, they're still kind of figuring things out in the secondary. Obviously, Patrick cannot throw multiple interceptions in the red zone. Those have been, you know, if you assume they're going to kick field goals at least on those drives, a 30-point swing in three games decided by 3 points in each of them. So, you know, obviously a significant, significant impact. I really think this is a team, though, that at the end of the day is good, not really different than last year's team. But last year's team had the most incredible timing and the most incredible luck I've ever seen. And this year's team has something close to the worst luck and worst timing I can recall in recent memory.
Maybe this is a homer stance, and I can live with that. I think that is an obvious point. And I'm not even saying that's like disregard what he is saying. I don't think the Chiefs were a 15-win team last year. We knew it as we were watching it. And I think what we were doing last year is we were covering our eyes and saying, la, 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 shut up, they won. We were watching those games. You know what a 15-win team should look like. And that is not what the Chiefs look like. The Chiefs were probably a 12-win team last year, an 11-win team last year, that everything, and I mean literally everything, broke their way that could last season. This year's team has a chance to be a 10, 11, or 12-win team. I could certainly understand how the numbers are also bearing that out. Hey, the Chiefs are much better offensively last year than they were. They're much more complete last year than they were. Their defense is not nearly as bad as people give it credit. They are just running into bad luck where they didn't have bad luck last year. So I think we are also seeing that. The same way that I don't think the Chiefs were a 15-win team, I also don't think the Chiefs are an average team either. But what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything at this point. I mean, it sounds good, and it might feel good. Man, you know what? Man, they're better than this. They'll figure it out. At this point, it is a results-oriented business. The Chiefs got to figure out a way to win at least five games over their next seven. And I think only winning five games still has you very much in danger. It is crazy to think in the AFC that you could go 10-7 and possibly miss the playoffs, but that is very much a reality for the Kansas City Chiefs. 10-7 does not guarantee you a postseason berth. It usually does. It does not this year. If the Chiefs want to feel comfortable on election day, they gotta win 11. Gotta win 11. And if the Chiefs have 9 wins heading into that last day, like that last game on the road in Las Vegas, if the Chiefs only have 9 win heading into that, they're going to need a Herman Edwards scenario. They're going to need a Kevin Harlan, I'm calling both games. They're going to need one of those kind of scenarios. And that was for the 1 seed. Imagine if this is to be the 7 seed for the playoffs. You got to beat the Raiders, whose number one focus is going to try to be to ruin your season. And you're probably going to need this team to win, but this team to lose. And You put yourself in a spot you don't want to be. What team was that last year? Was it Cincinnati that was complaining on how Kansas City handled the end of the season?
Yeah, because they were mad the Chiefs didn't put
at the Broncos. Yeah. I got a feeling that could be Kansas City. I'm not saying it will be, but it certainly could be. Where the text line is mad. Oh, why isn't Denver doing this? Why are the Colts? Because they took care of their business during the regular season and you didn't. That's why. That's why Daniel Jones isn't playing today. That's why Jonathan Taylor didn't get any carries today. I don't want to be in that situation. I imagine a lot of you don't want to be in that situation. But I'm just telling you, based on the math, based on the numbers, if the Chiefs only have 9 wins heading into Las Vegas, they will very much need help from others if they want to make the playoffs, Rob.
100%. It was actually something we were talking about yesterday. We were going through playoff scenarios. Tuesday. We're going through playoff scenarios. And we're talking about, hey, the Chiefs got to get back to getting some AFC wins. I think it's important to note the Chargers, who hold a tiebreaker with them right now because they are better in the division and the head-to-head. If it's, oh man, who's going to make the playoffs, Chiefs, Chargers, or Jags in Week 17, I believe the Jags have the Titans, so auto win, and the Chargers will be playing the Broncos. Now, that on paper sounds great, but the Broncos will probably have iced down the division by Week 18. So Justin Herbert and co. might be going up against, I honestly don't know who the backup quarterback of the Broncos is. Jared Stidham. The beginning name is Jared Stidham.
Might have made that up, but I believe it.
I mean, 50-50 chance.
You might have looked that up. I know we're up against it, Rob, and I know you probably had a football point. I'm sorry to cut you off. I have to read this. Someone on the text line, because someone asked the question, when do you usually eat Thanksgiving? Someone texted in, hey guys, our family gets the veggie snack tray, summer sausage, cheese, and crackers. That holds us over until we eat dinner at 4 o'clock. Bro, if my mom suggested that we should eat some veggie trays and have a Lunchable before we eat Thanksgiving dinner, there'd be some problems. That's what it would be. Please don't insult me. Come on now. You know what today is about. You know what today is about. Today's about the turkey, the ham, the stuffing. bro, please do not insult me telling me to go eat some cauliflower. Please do not tell me to go eat some celery and dip it in some ranch dressing to hold me over until the real meal. No, thank you. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. You should be insulted if this was suggested in your home. You eating celery and them little cherry tomatoes to hold you over until the stuffing and the mac and cheese? Absolutely not. I got it. That's a flagrant 2 foul. Ejected from the game. Suspension for the next game. No pay. Do not pass go. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.